Raw, uncut, and unapologetic. Welcome to Men Talking Mindfulness. Yeah, we're back for another episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And you probably know this, and if you don't, maybe this is the first time you're hearing it. Our minds are precious. You know, they can be our greatest ally, but also our greatest enemy. And this is why we talk so often on the show about our mind. So are you caught in a thought loop? Is there someone living rent-free in your head? So today we're excited to help you learn what to do if someone is taking up vacancy in your head and how to kick them out. That's it. That's what we're going to do today. Just me and John rocking solo. And hey, if you'd like to get more involved with MTM and understand, find out what we're doing, all you need to do is text MTM to 33777. That's it. MTM at 33777. And by texting, you can join our mailing list. We're not going to spam you at all. And you can find out also about our next retreat coming up in Colorado Springs on May 16th to the 19th. We're just going to do one from now on. All the episodes, we're going to do one simple breath to ground because we just want to get right to the show. So empty all the way out. Let it go. Let it go. Empty, empty, empty. Take one big giant inhale. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. All right, so why this particular topic about who's occupying your mind? Or maybe you can think of this as, you know, managing intrusive thoughts, or, you know, having no vacancy for people that don't deserve to take up rent in your mind. And, you know, I work with a lot of different students, and, you know, we often talk about, you know, different people that are, you know, are occupying and taking up vacancy and rent in their head, rent free. And, you know, and then like, what do you need to do to get rid of it? Like, so we're going to talk about some easy, and some very effective ways to do that. But, you know, for this particular, and hi, John, how are you? Sorry, we didn't.
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for asking. Just for those who may be watching and wondering, what the heck, why is John in a tank top? I told Will right before this, it's 81 degrees here in my office. It's cool outside. It's not cold, but they've got the heat cranked up in here and I am sweating. So I told Will before, I was like, hey, man, we're going to record this with me in a tank top. So, hey, raw, uncut, and unapologetic. Yeah. I'm not going to say sorry for wearing my tank top.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a hat, which is unusual for me. So we're just doing things differently, you know. So, well, let's start with a couple quotes and talk about, you know, that kind of speak to how precious the mind is. And the first one is from, you know, the Bible, Proverb 4:23. It says, more than anything, more than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from within. Another one is from Mahatma Gandhi. He says, I will not let anyone walk through my mind with their dirty feet, which I kind of like that whole, you know, metaphor of the dirty feet walking through my mind, right?
All I can think of when you read that is I visited Will last week for our MTM summit. And, you know, I live out in the country and we walk around our house quite often with our shoes on. Even though, yeah, there's horse manure and everything else, we have ways to wipe our feet off. But then I got into Will's apartment and I walked straight into the back bedroom with my shoes on. And Will's like, hey, in a very nice way, hey, you mind taking your shoes off? He's like, New York City is dirty. And then we walked around the city and as fun as it was, I saw very quickly how dirty it was. And I thought, man, I was tracking all that dirt into Will's apartment. But yeah, I love that visualization is, hey, who is walking through our mind? And then not only who is it that's walking through our mind, but who is bringing their dirty shoes and just, you know, stepping all over our mind and making us think different ways about who we are and what we are.
Yeah, fucking up my floors, and then I had to go and like obsess about it until you left, and then I had to clean my apartment for 3 days. I'm just kidding.
That dirty country boy.
I know. It's like, what's he doing? What's he doing? The country boy walking in my apartment with his shoes on. That's all good. I'm just kidding. But here's another one. Last one by William James from As a Man Thinketh. He says, a man's mind may be likened to a garden, which may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. If no useful seeds are put in, then an abundance of useless seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce their kind. So super important, you know, protect the mind. Like, what are you letting in? Who are you letting in? And that's why, you know, Men Talking Mindfulness, this is what it's really all about. Like, first becoming aware, right? And maybe this episode will help you become aware of like, oh, wait, like, oh, now I get what it means to ruminate, or another word that I said to John before we started the show, perseverate or perseverating, you know, and ruminating actually isn't the best word to describe what we're talking about today. Rumination refers to a deep or considered thought about something. Right, which is good. So that you can be, you know, ruminating about a particular idea, or getting creative, or writing something. Right. There's another definition of rumination refers to a cow. It's like chewing the cud. Right. But perseverating is really speaks to what we're kind of diving into today. And to perseverate or perseverating means to repeat or prolong an action, thought, or utterance after the stimulus that promoted it has ceased. So that's what it is, right? So that's like, you know, so something happened, right? And then you had a thought, you had an action, you kind of moved through that steer process that we've talked several times about this, but then you just keep going in to this thought loop. You just keep going in and it keeps reinforcing itself and just keeps repeating. It's a loop, right? It keeps going over and over and over again. And that whole event has taken place. It could be days ago, it could be weeks ago, it could be years ago, it could be a decade ago. You can live with these thoughts. You know, maybe you're thinking like, well, you know, I obsess about things as well, but let's talk about what, ruminating or perseverating versus obsessing is. And, ruminate refers to thinking about something over and over and over again and feeling stuck in a thought loop. And it can be a natural response. And then obsessing is on the other hand, or, you know, formal symptom of OCD. Let me just say that again. On the other hand, on the formal symptom of OCD, they can typically occur without any stimulus and are unwanted, uncontrollable, or intrusive thoughts and urges that can cause significant distress. So a little bit of difference there between rumination and obsessing. But both are related to the mind. And really, you know, what the mind can do if you leave your garden untended, if you just let it go wild, all sorts of, you know, weeds and plants and different things are going to pop up. But if you tend your garden of the mind, if you think of the Zen garden, right, the Zen garden has four walls as well, right? So it's not just, you know, a beautiful garden, but it has boundaries and those boundaries must be protected. But how do you create those boundaries? How do you create that structure? How do you pull those weeds out and in part start to plant seeds that, you know, really are helpful and they can really work for you? John, anything?
We did an episode not too long ago about reflecting.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, the coming back to perseverating, mm-hmm. The definition is, again, repeat or prolonged action, thought, or utterance after the stimulus that prompted it has mm-hmm. ceased. Now, Will, what's the difference between mm-hmm. perseverating and mm-hmm. reflecting? Because we encourage reflection, right? We want people to learn from their past, right. But we don't want them to live in it. And what I always say during my keynotes is learn from the past, but don't live in it. Reminisce. Reflect, but don't ruminate. What's the difference there in their reflection, the ruminating, and the perseverating?
Well, the perseverating is, you know, it's you're caught in a thought loop, right? And it's like you're it's the thought, it's the emotion, it's the action, and it just kind of keeps repeating, right, mm-hmm. over and over and over again, and it just keeps going. And it started from like one particular referring to perseverating. It starts from like one event. And then it just, you know, and you just keep living that event over and over and over again. Whereas self-reflection is an actual, it's a tool, it's a skill. When you're self-reflecting, it's definitely a lot more intentional than being completely unintentional.
Yeah.
If I can go back and reflect on my experience and you know, that's something that is going to help you to overcome that thought. You know, when you think of a thought loop, right, and it has different parts, right? It has a stimulus, which has happened a long time ago, but then you're caught in the rest of the TEA, you're caught in the rest of the STIA process,
yeah.
Right? So the thought, you know, the thought continually, provokes the emotion, which provokes the action. And, you know, if you're caught in this particular kind of loop and there's three parts, right? So how do you begin to play and remove or, you know, kind of, manage or manipulate each one of those parts, remove them in some way in order to stop the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's like, and you can use self-reflection as a tool to understand more of that thought, right? To understand like the emotions as well, that get really into those emotions, that get deeper down to the root cause of that emotion. Because it's like, you know, we mentioned actually, the anger episode on anger, right? Anger is a secondary emotion,
right?
Right. And there's a deeper emotion underneath that. And if you take time to self-reflect, right, and just take time to pause, and what's great about self-reflection, instead of being attached to the loop, right, you're zoomed out and kind of observing and witnessing and watching and gathering information in that particular thing, in that particular with self-reflection.
Just in listening to you speak and kind of thinking about it, it seems as though reflection is useful and perseverating is useless. And I'm thinking in particular, this one instance that happened a couple months ago. It snowed here for the first time this season, or at least a decent snow to where we could take the kids sledding. And we met family friends there, and they have a young little boy that was sledding with our kids, and so was their daughter. And we were sledding. In hindsight, where we were sledding was not ideal. We didn't really think about it when we first got there, but we're sledding, and at the bottom of the hill is this split rail fence. And our family friends, their daughter and their son is two, climb on the sled, and they start coming down the hill, and I see them picking up speed, and I start yelling, "Bail out, bail out." Which in hindsight, that doesn't help a whole lot to this young daughter and the 2-year-old. And I see them heading towards the fence, and they freaking go right underneath the bottom rail of this fence. And the daughter is old enough to take some quick action, and she lays back on the sled, but the 2-year-old doesn't see it coming. And his face smacks this bottom rail on this fence, knocked out one of his teeth, kind of jacked up his face, or at least not permanently, but it did knock out his tooth permanently, but scraped up his face, blood everywhere. And tears from everyone, the 2-year-old, right. The adults involved. There's a lot of yelling and trying to get things figured out. And immediately after that, in my mind and in everybody, all the adults' minds, we're all thinking, we should have done something differently. What if I had done this? What if I had done that? What if I had done this? And kept going through it. Like, I was going through it, and I wasn't even the parent. And I know my friends, the father and the mother, they were going through it incessantly, and they're probably still going through it. This is months ago.
Yeah.
But that doesn't do you any good, because there's nothing that you can do to change the past. But the useful side is reflecting. Okay, what can we do differently in the future?
Yes.
Don't go to that hill. Exactly. Or if you do go to that hill, go down a different part that doesn't have a split rail fence at the bottom of it. So I think, the one of the distinguishing factors there is the perseverating is useless. It doesn't change the future for anybody. It doesn't change who you are. It doesn't make the situation or the person involved any better. Whereas reflecting it can't change the past, but it can change the future, and it can make the situation and the person doing it involved better.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just even to talk about perseverating, like I did, I wouldn't, it's not healthy, but I think it is a sign. It's a signal that something should probably change. Like if you're like having someone in your head or this moment that you're talking about playing over and you're beating yourself up or you're, you know, you're out there blaming, you know, whatever, the person that picked that particular spot to sled is like, oh, it's so dumb. Why did I listen to them? You know, and you just keep going over and over and over again and keep getting worked up and like, you know, and then all, you know, making all sorts of assumptions or whatever else is going on and, you know, creating anxiety and stress and maybe start, if you keep perseverating over and over, over again, like it can lead to, you know, anxiety disorders or depression or, you know, even some OCD, because then you're always going to be afraid, you know, of your kid getting hurt in this regard. But, you know, so it could be, you know, it could be a good sign that like, okay, I need to really look at this in a healthy way, you know, so reflecting could be something, you know, and could be something very helpful. But if you can't get lost, if you can't detach from that thought, you know, maybe it's time to, you know, actually go talk, get some, you know, medical or go to therapy or talk to some sort of somebody that professional that can really help you understand, you know, like that you're just caught in a thought loop. Right. And you can, you know, make a change, but you have to release yourself from that thought loop as well. So perseverating is, I think it's just a really a big, a signal, a sign that, you know, you need to just change something in your environment and, or change something with you, or let that energy out. You know, I think that that's a lot of it too, is the, you know, emotion, right? Energy in motion. And, you know, if it keeps beating, turning itself in and in and in, then you're just not in a healthy way, because like literally your mind is occupied, you know, by this particular thought over and over and over again. And, you know, you don't have, you sit in that fog of distress of that particular thought, and it just can really mess with you in so many other ways, instead of, you know, looking at it as a sign of like, okay, I can make some change, and how can I approach this and see this from and change it into a healthier outcome, instead of just me getting, you know, darker and lost in, you know, in this particular instance. Or, you know, or if this also goes for, you know, when I was doing this research for the show, you know, they kind of referred quite a bit to like, you know, a breakup or losing, you know, you know, someone or lost love or unrequited love. And I get it. I mean, it's really, really painful and hurts quite a bit to have that heart broken. But it, you know, it doesn't, as I'm sure a lot of listeners out there that have had their heart broken, you know, it's like, how much is it, how long do you perseverate? How long do you sit with those feelings and that thought loop over and over and over again? And what is being locked in that thought loop from those, you know, transgressions or that from that breakup or whatever has happened? Like, what is it preventing you from seeing? Right. And that's what really this is about, you know, so much of, about like becoming more mindful and becoming more aware is getting to that clarity so you can actually walk on your path instead of continually walking down the path of somebody else. And that's what happens when, you know, no vacancy, when somebody is, you know, occupying your mind, you know, they're controlling you in some way and they have like power over you in some way.
Well, what are some ways that we can stop this from happening? Or, you know, mindfulness, you know, obviously that's a practice that we can be aware of our thoughts, catch them in action. What are some ways that you recommend for our listeners, our viewers, to help remove, kind of evict, if you will, this person from taking up this vacancy in our mind?
Well, I think what you brought up there about meditation and stuff could be a great way to calm down and get to a little more clarity. So then you can start taking right action and action that'll be really work. And, you know, if you are, you know, and I'm sorry if you're going through some sort of hard times with, you know, somebody, you know, from a relationship or maybe somebody at work. I mean, but there are some things you can do about it. And, you know, some of the best practice to grow beyond is, you know, see if you can remove reminders of this particular person. So, you know, so that you can be, you know, stop the social media triggering, you know, just constantly going back and, you know, looking at their, I mean, I did that, you know, I really, about 10 years ago. Yeah, I guess it'll be 10 years this year. I mean, I really met someone really special and didn't work out. And God, it was so hard to see her social media. It's so hard to take social media back then. And it's like, and I actually, it was kind of fucked up at that time on Instagram. Like I couldn't, you know, I couldn't just mute them. Right. You had to just either unfollow them or that's it. And it's so funny when I unfollowed her and she saw that I unfollowed her. Like,
the drama.
You know, there's more drama there. And I just kept beating myself up even more. And it was just like, so I try to remove the stimulus and create another thought loop because I was just really aching. I was just really hurting. You know, another thing that, you know, can do is like stop looking at photos or if you have photos of you and this loved one or, you know, in your environment, like, God, hide those or burn them or get rid of them in some way or do a ceremony.
That. I've done that. Yeah. Man. I've done the ceremony burning photos of past relationships. There's times I look back and I'm like, damn, why did I do that? But it was good for me. It was like a cleansing. And, you know, I don't know whether it was perseverating, but it was almost like a mourning process that I'd been in up until then. And then when I realized the mourning, if you will, was over, that's when I was able to burn those photos photos, letters, you know, all the reminders. And it was cleansing. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should go and burn all their photos of everybody in their past lives, but if that works for you, try it out. See if it's helpful.
Yeah. Or maybe give them to like a friend of yours or something like that, or leave them at your parents' house and be like, look, I don't want to even think about
these.
Put
them in a shoebox.
Yeah, put them in a shoebox, put it away. I mean, for me, like I need to get it out of my environment.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah.
Because it's just like, you know, where, you know, where attention goes, energy flows, right? So if I still have that person in my head and there's still a box of photos and, you know, and memorabilia and all the wonderful things from a relationship in the house, what am I going to do? I mean, it's even there. It's kind of occupying space in my apartment.
Literally.
Right? Which is in my environment is, you know, is the manifestation of my mind. So I just, boom, like clear it all out as much as you possibly can. And that means maybe deleting photos or whatever. I mean, but, you know, the more that you know, that's a trigger, right? And that's going to put you back in the loop. The thoughts and the feelings and like the actions, again, you just keep going and going and going. So you got to, again, think of like the loop as having those three parts and you must, you know, remove one of those parts. And the best way to do that is just taking action. So sometimes it's nice, I feel, to talk about your thoughts and talk about your feelings, but it's really hard to do anything about them without taking some sort of action. And that's what you need to do is really like take action.
Talking about taking action, I mean, aside from taking direct action to stop these thoughts, maybe getting out, hanging out with friends, getting out and being social, getting out, exercising, getting some sun. Don't sit in your apartment. Don't sit in your house. Don't sit in your car just scrolling through social media and old pictures and old memories. Get out and start living this new life, right? Creating new memories. I have locations that were very important to me because of their significance in a past relationship. And I have since started, like, I was like, I'm never going back to that location. I'm never going back there. But I have since started going back to those locations with my wife to replace the memories so that that place doesn't have any power over me. Those memories in that place don't have any power over me. Now I can still appreciate that place, that event, that restaurant, that, I don't know, ski slope, whatever. So, you know, taking action as far as stopping looking at the photos, stopping looking at the social media, those type of actions. But I think also getting out and start to live your life and start making new memories can be very helpful too.
Yeah, it's just, you know, shift your energy to something that matters or is healthy to you, right? So spending time on self-care, like you talked about, it's like, you know, honor the body, you know, get in your body. And one thing that the body does to our, you know, just the way the body is, good or bad, doesn't really make a difference. You know, thinking makes it so, says Shakespeare, right? is like, you know, the body will hold that emotion. Right. And the more that you kind of get out and work out, you're going to actually start you know, it's called working out, right? You're working out your thoughts. You're working out that emotional energy, you know, also strengthening your body and you're doing something that feels good. You're going to get those endorphins that are going to be kicking. I'm going to feel better about myself, you know, and maybe you're, you know, that will help you to overcome, you know, you know, this thought loop and this feeling. You know, they call it, you know, doom scrolling, right? I mean, it's like if you're going to sit in that doom, it's just like you're going to continually, you know, increase the intensity of that fog of distress for this particular situation, right? You got to pull yourself out. And definitely getting healthy, honoring your body and maintaining a healthy body is going to absolutely help with that.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've talked a lot about this perseverating being involved with relationships. You know, one of the times that I've had a lot of perseverating was in trauma. You know, the trauma that I was exposed to, trauma that I saw others exposed to, and there's a lot of perseverating there. And, you know, another piece where you can take action is going and seeking help. And we'll mention that at the beginning. Like it can be very difficult to work through this on your own. Seek some professional help, go and see a counselor, a clinician, a psychiatrist, if that's what you need. But take action, because that's where it really matters, is that you are doing something for yourself, whether that's with help or not, but you are taking that action. You have to take that first step.
Yeah. Another action you could take is like, you know, focusing on, you know, if you're in school, focusing on your schoolwork, right? Or like focusing on your career in some way, or like even maybe even going out and trying to learn a new skill would be helpful.
Oh yeah.
You know, just kind of like, you know, so use that energy, use that loss, use that, you know, whatever's going on with you and in a life affirming way, instead of it continually, you know, destroying you and eating you from the inside out. You know, volunteering your time could be a great way to do that. You know, really help. It's something about, I mean, helping other people. I mean, it's really what drives the show, right? It's why we show up. It's our big why. It's like we just want to see men and everybody, you know, live healthier, happier, and more harmonious life. Like, that's it. You know, I mean, through our conversations, but also, right, but what do we say every single show? Take action, meditate, breathe, get out there. It's action, action, action. You know, part of taking that action could be, practicing relaxation techniques, right? Breathing, meditating, again, getting to the gym. Another opportunity here is investing in health. Right. And life affirming relationships, you know, so one thing that could be a trigger, right? If you're not sleeping very well, get your sleep in check. If you're not eating very well, you're causing inflammation in the body, right? Then, you know, that can be stuck, continually trigger that loop over and over and over again. So what do you need to get healthy, right? In order to get right in your mind, in order to move beyond, you know, another thing here is taking action is expressing your emotions in a safe place that can help, you know, find relief and bring peace of mind. So talking to a mental health professional, or, you know, going to therapy. All the guys listening and out there, it's like, you know, we have a couple episodes on men in therapy. And
I go to therapy regularly. I went to therapy yesterday. Yeah.
And why do you go to therapy, John?
I go to therapy for repair and maintenance, right? You take your car to the shop when it's broken to get it fixed, but you also take your car to the shop to maintain its optimal functions. That's what I want to do. I want to be able to maintain my optimal. I don't want to maintain optional. I want to maintain optimal mental fitness. So I still go to the therapy sessions, and I regularly will. It's a part of my life. I will continue to go to that because of what it does for me, but also what it does for those around me. I feel like I'm a better person when I'm going to therapy. But you know, one of the things that we talk about in the therapy, and you talked about it all the time on the show, Will, is the only way out is through, right? Sometimes we push back against these thoughts, we push back against these feelings. And you know, if I ask you, Will, and I ask you as listeners or watchers to not think about a big gray elephant, what are you going to think about? You're going to think about that big gray elephant. And the more time we try so hard not to think about someone, we actually end up drowning ourselves in the thoughts of them. So sometimes the only way to get out of these feelings is through and just accepting and sitting with them. And when I say sitting with them, I quite literally mean sitting in a meditation, sitting in a breathing practice, sitting with them and being curious why you feel this way, and giving yourself some grace. Because a lot of the time, I know when I was very young, you know, I got my heart broken for the first time. by when I was 16. I thought I got my heart broken before that, but when I was when I was 16, I got my heart broken for real. And actually, funny enough, it was broken by a woman who called into the show during our
I remember that.
Anyway, that's a little shout out to Jen.
Hi, Jen.
First heartbreak. But anyway, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, something is wrong for me, or something is wrong with me for having these feelings. I shouldn't have these feelings. I should be tougher than this. I should suck it up and get through it. And I started to beat myself up for having feelings of being hurt. And I know there's listeners and watchers who have those same feelings. They have these negative feelings about their feelings. It's the meta thoughts, right? Meta feelings. Yeah. Feelings about your feelings, thoughts about your thoughts. And if you can just let go of that and be with the feelings as they are, and then say, you know what? Of course I feel this way. I was with that person for 2 years. Mm. Of course I'm hurt that this relationship is no longer moving on. Sit with that and accept it, and then let them pass.
That comes up a little bit later. I have a couple things, like, you know, if you're a guy out there, you know, that's, you know, really, you know, angry, frustrated, you know, stressed out, anxious, and maybe it's not even like, you know, a necessarily thought loop, but you're kind of sitting with all this like fury on the inside all the time, and it finds its way into almost everything you do, then go talk to somebody. You know, the only way out is through, and the only way through that is starting to express that anger, that frustration, that anxiety, you know, the injustice, the betrayal, whatever it is, like, you need to talk about it. And I know, you know, still people in my family and a lot of probably listeners out there, or maybe not our listeners, but maybe some new ones, you know, they think like therapy is weakness.
Yeah.
Or they think like, I only need therapy when I have a fucking problem, you know, or like, you know, and it's like, no, it's like, you know, John, you said it right. It's like, it's maintenance in a lot of ways, but also it could be, you know, life-saving in the sense of like, not necessarily, you know, like you're looking to end your life, but it can save and give you your life back instead of you living a life in the past because of something that happened or whatever you're consumed with mentally, or whatever that thought is, or that person that's holding, you know, taking up vacancy in your mind. You know, and here's another one. So if this is it's this relationship thing, limit contact with this person. You know, like, I mean, you know, block them every way that you, if you can, you know, minimizing contact as much as you can. You know, you don't have to cut them off completely, but you can create some sort of healthy boundaries and distance yourself, you know, from situations and that trigger those thoughts. You know, maybe declining invitations to socialize with them, like limit your conversations or to just work related topic if it's someone at work, and, you know, mute your notifications on your phone. Right. So, you know, use technology to our advantage instead of it always trying to be incredibly intrusive on our life. You know, they have those options. You have to dig for them sometimes instead of them being so obvious. But, you know, that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
You know, another one is, you know, we kind of alluded to it, shift your focus. You know, instead of obsessing over a person and what they did and said, you know, try to redirect your attention to something else. You know, you can focus on goals, hobbies, interests, passions. You know, you can spend more time with other people, you know, who support you and make you feel good. I mean, that's a big one, right? And, or even just a friend, you know, that you can talk to about, you know, when I was going through these breakups, you know, it was just, I really leaned into my friends pretty hard. I'm like, I just don't want to be, I would even say, like, I mean, God, going back to that breakup that changed my life. I just remember talking to my buddy Troy back in the day. And if you're actually listening, Troy, hey, what's up, man? It's been a long time. I have no idea who's listening, you know? But it sent
everyone,
me a
everyone.
Troy. Yeah, everyone. Yeah. I just remember saying to Troy, I'm like, I just don't want to be alone. Is it okay if I come over and just hang out?
Yeah.
It's like so like vulnerable, and I even saying it now, it's like, that's kind of weird, but, you know, or not weird, but it's
not
just like, this is what I needed. Yeah. And I just needed to be, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, yeah, I mean, it's not at all. You're right. Yeah. And I came from such a hurt place that I just wanted to be around someone that really, you know, cared for me and really like gave a shit and
rightly
really
so.
Wanted to hold space. Yeah, exactly. And those are real friends. Yeah. And those are the friends, like, I have other friends that I was going through that time that, you know, I'm just kind of, my heart is bleeding and I'm, you know, just talking through my bleeding heart. And I remember my one friend, like, I'm talking, and he just says to me, he goes, bitches.
Oh my. Yeah, that's helpful. That's super helpful.
Yeah, I was like, oh, and he wasn't my friend much longer after that. Yeah, I just felt so let down. I just felt, and some, you know, some people don't have the capacity to do that. And maybe you shouldn't cancel them like I did, but I was just like, okay, this is a real defining moment in our relationship.
Yeah.
And I think another big one here is accept your feelings. We kind of alluded to this. You know, sometimes, you know, the more you try to stop your thinking about someone, the more you end up thinking about them.
Yep.
Right. You know, so this is because you're suppressing our thoughts and feelings, and they can have the opposite effect and make them stronger. So instead of fighting the emotions or fighting the current, accept them and let them pass. Right. It's again, it's all about the only way out is through. And the only way to get through is to be like, fuck, man, be really honest with yourself. Like, this is what I'm feeling. And it might not be the best, you know, experience I'm having right now. And but it's like if when you start to like take the courage. Right. To, you know, to face it, embrace it, right. Talk about it and move beyond it. I mean, it's not going to be pretty, you know, it could actually get a little bit worse when you start, you know, like getting deeper into maybe some of the details or some of the feelings you're having or some of the, you know, the memories of it. But it's like, but it's, if you're with a good health professional or you know, maybe you're just talking to a friend or something like that, it's like, and I really suggest, you know, seeking out professional help for sure, especially if you're really lost and stuck. And it's possible. It's really possible to make change.
And you know, some, just some of the lasting, the last things that we'll mention, kind of shorter episode today, but what are those, some of the coping strategies? I know we've talked about some of them. One is getting active in your healing process, getting out there, replacing the memories, if you will. You know, breathing exercises that we often talk about on the show, obviously the meditation, journaling. I know you're a huge fan of journaling. I'm pretty big on it. But in that journaling, write down what it is you're feeling and then don't judge. Yeah. Don't judge yourself for that. I think those are very helpful coping mechanism, coping modalities, if you will. What else?
Yeah, no, to bring together, and we can close with this, right? You talked about what's the difference between, you know, self-reflection and perseverating. Well, you can unify them, you know, and use self-reflecting exercises. And this one in particular might be good to journal just to kind of get a little more in touch.
Yeah.
But you can ask yourself, you know, some simple questions, you know, like, is this thought true? You know, and I really sit with that, you know, is this thought true? And write and sit and be, and like, cause it's like important, you know, the mind is so funny because it's like, you know, it's like a fiction novel every fucking day. So a lot of times, right? It's just constantly pulling me into my imagination, pulling, you know, making assumption, taking things personal, you know, like reliving things in the past that have nothing to do within the present moment. And it only gets in the way of like the step that I take, you know, so doing that, you know, is this true? Another question is, and is there any evidence to support or contradict it? So, you know, that could be something that, you know, is there any evidence to support or contradict? And the last thing you can potentially, you know, write about or even just think about, but, or maybe even talk about with somebody else. What would I say to a friend who had this thought?
Yep.
You know, so that's again, objectifying, and it's so key. That's what self-reflection is going to do. And the journaling is going to help you to detach even momentarily, you know, from, and just kind of take like a bird's eye view of what's really going on with you. So
it comes back full circle to self-compassion that we've spoken about in the past.
And
the common humanity and kindness to ourselves. So it's pretty powerful stuff, man. So for those of you who are listening, who are perseverating, if you're feeling that, hey, we get it. We're with you and we understand what you're feeling. Don't judge yourself for having those feelings. Sit with them, go with them. Of course you feel this way for whatever it is that you are experiencing or whatever it is that you have experienced. And if you feel comfortable, reach out to us, and we'd love to connect you with some other resources. I know Will's a big time self-compassion ambassador, or a compassion ambassador, and a lot of the stuff that he's learned in that course and with that certification can be helpful. So reach out.
I can help you for sure. You know, and I already do, you know, but it's just like, you know, just again, connecting instead of like, you know, a lot of men think like, oh, I just got to go through it alone, or it's just, I got to suffer alone. It's like, you know, it's awful. That's like, that's a bad thought right there. Get that thought out of your head and reach out for help.
For sure.
Get help. And don't judge yourself for getting help, because when you do get help, you'll be like, oh, I feel much better.
Celebrate yourself for getting help.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a great first mile step for a lot of men. It's just realizing that, you know, okay, I'm stuck in a thought loop. What do I do about it? You know what? Instead of me going about this alone, you know, I need to go seek some professional help, or at least start talking about it with a friend,
right?
Instead of isolating yourself into more of the doom.
Right.
That's it, John.
Right on. Great stuff here, Will. Thank you for putting this show together. I think it's a great topic, and I know that our listeners got a lot out of it. If you did, please share it with your family, your friends, your colleagues, whoever you think will benefit from this. I believe that's everyone. So please share it far and wide. Subscribe on the podcast, subscribe on the various social media platforms to help us grow our influence, not so that we can be influencers, but so that we can have wider and greater impact with what it is we're doing. So that said, I'm going to wrap it up with a meditation designed to address this. And then we'll call it a day, brother.
Yeah. And we also have one thing I'll say, John, just for that is we do have self-compassion meditation built into our platform.
Yeah, we do.
So if you'd like to jump right in. And there's also another meditation out there called the transformation technique that can help you transform and move beyond as well. So
beautiful.
Take it away, brother.
Beautiful. All right. Let's go ahead and start by getting comfortable, whatever that looks like and feels like for you. And if you can, and it feels comfortable, then I invite you to close your eyes. And let's just start by taking a few deep breaths. Nothing forced, but just being aware of the depth of the breath, breathing with intention, inhaling slowly through the nose, feeling the air fill your lungs, and then exhale gently through your mouth, feeling your lungs emptying. With each breath, allow yourself to sink deeper into a state of relaxed awareness. Now bring your attention to any thoughts, any perseverating thoughts that have been persisting in your mind. These could be worries, plans, repetitive thoughts that have been taking up that vacancy, occupying your attention, your mind. And as we covered in the show, observe them, but don't assign any judgment to them. Acknowledge that they are there. Acknowledge their presence. But don't engage with them. Imagine them as clouds floating across the sky of your mind. Present, but they are always moving and they are always changing. And as you continue to breathe deeply, visualize a gentle stream in a peaceful forest. And each time you exhale, imagine these perseverating thoughts gently falling into the stream and being carried away by the water. Watch them drift away and become smaller and smaller. And imagine them becoming less significant with each breath. And if you find your mind clinging to these thoughts, gently remind yourself that it's okay. It's natural for your mind to wander. Simply bring your focus back to your breath and imagine these thoughts being dropped into the stream and floating away. Allow each breath to bring you more into this present moment, away from the grasp of repetitive thoughts. And then shiftly or slowly shift your focus. And the thoughts to the sensations in your body. Notice the feeling of the air on your skin, the weight of your body against the chair or the floor, and the gentle rise and fall of your chest with each breath. Allow yourself to be fully present in this moment, grounded in these physical sensations. And as we come to an end of this meditation, take a moment to appreciate the peace and the stillness that you have now cultivated. Remember, you have the power to observe your thoughts without being consumed by them. Whenever you find yourself caught in the cycle of perseveration, you can return to this practice of mindful breathing and visualization to calm and clarify. And now gently, on your own time, start to bring some movement back into your body. Start to wiggle your fingers, maybe wiggling your toes, rolling your shoulders around. And if your eyes were closed, start to blink them open. And that is a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for your work on this, Will. I certainly appreciate you, brother, for all that you bring to the show and to our audience. And to our audience, thank you again for tuning in. Until next time, peace.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, everybody. Thanks, John. Peace.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you walk away with some new tools and insights to guide you on your life journey. New episodes are being published every week, so please join us again for some meaningful discussion. For more information, please check out mentalkingmindfulness.com.